Could I have the laptop, David? Thank you. Oh, illumination too. Let's pray. Lord, help us to consider how we grow in this area of sharing our faith. Speak to us each individually, speak to us together as a church, that we may desire, really want to share our faith, that we really want those we know and those we love to come to know you in a personal way. So hear our prayer and bless us in these next few minutes, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, our theme today is we must get out more, so grow. Last week it was so share. And we spent most of our time together last week looking at the video that has been made available this autumn by the Billy Graham organization, said to be his last sermon to the world, in which he wants to say the cross is absolutely central, and we need to understand the significance of the cross. So we spent time thinking about that, and indeed all through this series, one verse I have kept returning to: for God so loved the world, say this with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is the core of the gospel. One of the ways I like to use in sharing the faith is a little thing which can easily be drawn on the back of an envelope or a bit of paper or a serviette called the bridge. And it starts off looking a bit like this. God made us, set us in the world, there's God and there's us. And he made us to face him, and he made us to cooperate with him, and he made us to live for him. But we made the decision to turn away, to do our own thing, to do it our way, because he made us with choice. Well, that was a daft thing for God to do, wasn't it? To make us with choice. I mean, why not make us so that we would all be automatically programmed to serve him and face him and bring him glory? Because God wanted a love relationship with us. And love cannot be forced. At its most extreme, forced love we call rape. That's not God. God said, you've got to accept my love and love me back. But that means you have the option of choosing not to love me and not loving me back. And that's what we call sin. Sin, according to the Apostle Paul, is falling short of the glory of God. Anything which doesn't reach God's level of perfection and holiness and justice and love falls short, and it's sin. So we have a problem. And the problem is that our sin means that there's a gulf between us and God, a division between the two of us. And the wages of sin, says Paul, is death. We deserve the death sentence for our being sinners. And then something might happen in a life which causes us to turn around, and we think, well, actually, I might be better off with God than doing it by myself or doing it with other people in the opposite direction. Yeah, I sense I should be facing God. And so people try to get back to God. They might decide that they're going to say the Lord's Prayer every night before they go to sleep. They might decide they're going to start coming to church from time to time on a Sunday. They might decide they're going to offer to do the shopping for the elderly neighbour that they have and who can't make it to the shops very easily themselves. But the trouble is, with all our efforts, they all fall short. None of them get us across that gap. So that's a bit of a problem. We can't do it from our side. But God sent Jesus into the world. Advent Sunday next week, as we begin to turn towards Christmas. And when we remember that at the heart of the Christian Christmas is the whole idea of the incarnation, the whole idea that God came into the world, his Son came into the world as man, one of us, lived our life, ate like us, went to the loo like us, could be hurt like us, could be encouraged like us. Everything we are, he was. And he could have sinned. Right at the beginning of his ministry, the devil came to him and said, "Let me show you an easy way of doing what you've come to do." It wasn't that Jesus couldn't sin. When we say Jesus was sinless, it wasn't that he couldn't sin, it was that he didn't. He chose not to. He chose not to take shortcuts. He knew why he had come. And he had come to build the bridge that we needed to get back to God. And he did it on the cross. All those things that we've ever got wrong, all those sins, were paid for by the cross of Christ, by his death there. So that for the believer, there is now a way back over to God and to relationship with him. Death is no longer the enemy, but a transition to the fullness of the promises of God. That's what we were thinking about last week, about the significance of the cross, and we heard Lecrae and Lacey Sturm give their testimonies, both performing Christian artists, but who shared their testimony of how God reached out to them in very difficult situations and embraced them and drew them back to him. Right at the beginning of this series, I presented you with the Engel scale. Actually, I suppose I ought to have just given you a bit of paper and a blank sheet and write 1 to 16 down, and then as a test you have to write all 16 stages. But I'm not going to do that. In fact, I'm not even going to go through them all. But basically what it says is that there is a whole process that leads to our making a decision to surrender to Jesus. And it starts with just a simple awareness of God. And there's a whole process goes on. But the whole process doesn't end when we decide to surrender to Christ. We grow on beyond that as disciples. And we said how as a church we're seeking to be involved in activities during next year that will include sowing activities. Opportunities when people can get to know us, can begin to hear just a little bit about what we believe and why we believe it. And then activities more deliberately designed to give people the opportunity to hear a challenge and why perhaps they should seriously consider the Christian faith for themselves. The reaping. There's a harvest out there, but the harvest will just rot in the field if there aren't people to go out and bring it in. And then beyond that, there's that keeping, where we need to have those things that help people get deeper and deeper in their faith. It's a sort of spiral thing. Sowing, reaping, keeping. There's a process in which we move through those stages as we come to faith. First of all, we're the ground that is being sown into. And then we become the harvest that is reaped, and then we are kept. We begin to work out what it means to be kept in the grace of God and to grow in the grace of God. The church will be involved in that spiral of activities constantly. A church that is reaching out needs to be always sowing and reaping and keeping. It's not just that you sow in this season and reap in this season and keep in this season, because we've got to be prepared for the fact that different people arrive at these seasons at their own times. You know, unfortunately, not everybody who wants to find out a little bit more about the Christian faith does so between January and Easter. And they don't make their decisions between Easter and Pentecost, and they don't then go on to grow between Pentecost and Christmas. That's not the way it works. They come to those points when God brings them to them. And so, if you like, these things are constantly going on alongside one another, and more than one process is going on at a time. Don't want to make this too complicated, but what does that look like in the terms of the people that we're seeking to reach? And for us. And for us. You see, we need to be convicted. That's a word we don't very often use these days. But convicted means knowing one's need of salvation. We must beware of offering salvation light, spelt L-I-T-E, of course. What I mean is, come to Jesus and be happy. Well, that's nice. Come to Jesus and be prosperous. Well, that's nice. But the reason that any of us really need to come to Jesus is because we are sinners under condemnation of death and we need salvation. We can only live fully in the kingdom of God if we understand that. And then we come to him and ask him to forgive us for our sin and to give us the help of his Holy Spirit to become what he wants us to be. So there has to be conviction. I've said it often, I'll say it again. Donald Campbell, who was the man at the centre of the Hebrides revival at the late 1940s, early 1950s, preached and preached and preached, never gave an altar call. Never said, if you want to give your life to Jesus, come forward now. Didn't want people to come forward in the moment of immediate emotion. But he said, if you want to come and talk about it, we'll be in so-and-so's house after the meeting. So people would go along to so-and-so's house and he would talk with them. But he would never lead them in the prayer of salvation unless he was sure that they understood the depth of their sin and their need of forgiveness. When he was sure of that, he would say the prayer with them. And sometimes it would be days or weeks before he led people to that prayer, because he wanted them to understand what was going on in that moment and the seriousness of it. And then, after conviction, comes commitment. It's not just a case of signing on the dotted line, and it's not just a case of saying, I'm for Jesus. It's about living life for Jesus. It's about, I'm going to walk this way now. And it's going to mean differences in the way I live. And God's going to show me things that I need to let go of. Sinful habits. And that will carry on for the rest of our Christian lives. Because the next bit is continuation. God is going to be on your case in the most positive ways for the rest of your life. He is going to constantly take you deeper and deeper and deeper into his things if you will walk with him. It's a bit like the layers of an onion. As soon as you've got one layer off, there's another and another. And another. And so with that comes growth and consecration with Jesus. Jesus said, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. And that's what we hope for, that we will come to be like Jesus. And there are various ways you know about in which we go. This picture, by the way, is the best I could do, but really each part of the spiral should be the same width. I don't want you to think that the one at the bottom is less important than the one at the top, but it's the closest I could get to what I wanted. We grow as we pray. As we spend time to talk with Jesus and to listen to what he's got to say to us. We grow as we take time in the Word of God, in the Bible, reading about Jesus and the things that informed his faith. We grow as we spend time in fellowship with other Christians. And that will look a bit like perhaps being part of a small group. The reason we're part of small groups is that a small group, unlike this group, is small enough for everybody in the group to know one another quite well, talk to one another, listen to one another, pray together, walk with one another through the ups and downs of life, and therefore learn and grow as disciples together. But we also need the worshipping community. They're like the two wings of a bird. Clip one wing off and the bird won't fly. We also need to come together with a larger group of people. We need to just get caught up in praising God. We need to hear the word together so we know what we're about together. And also we will grow through being involved in outreach, both mission and service. It's amazing how, as we walk with people and seek to share our faith with them, the Lord will help us grow. Because once you start in this and your friend asks one awkward question and you have to go home and do some homework in your Bible and other Christian books perhaps to be able to answer their question, you could be sure if you do it satisfactorily, it will not have been the first question that they'll ask you. And you find yourself growing by helping them grow. God's planned it that way. It's no coincidence. In Hebrews, the writer says, let's hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let's consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. John Wesley once said, there is no holiness but social. Which he did not mean going and doing social work. He meant we only grow in holiness in company with other believers. We need one another. That's part of God's intention. You see, evangelism is about bringing people to meet Jesus. We remembered last week how Andrew the apostle brought Peter to Jesus. That's what it tells us. Andrew didn't convert Peter. Andrew didn't persuade Peter. He just brought him to Jesus, and Jesus did the rest. And that's what we're asked to do. You see, discipleship is about becoming like Jesus in the whole of life. We need the Holy Spirit. You see, we're told the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And those things are not just for Sunday morning, but they're for the whole of life. And sometimes we need to come before God and say, God, how can I grow into these things, and how can I live out these things, these qualities of your Spirit, in the environment where I live and work day by day? In Deuteronomy, we hear these words. We'll share them together next week at the Thanksgiving. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then a bit we will recognize, because Jesus quoted it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, the Jews took that literally. I'm not sure that that was meant literally, but it meant, let these things inform every part of your living, wherever you go. Love for God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. Everywhere, all the time. And you see, we begin to understand that evangelism and discipleship are both part of one process. You cannot actually draw a neat line. That's what the Engel scale is all about. The process of becoming a Christian goes on into growing as a disciple, a Christ follower. That's what Paul had in mind for the people he was wanting to share his faith with. Says at the beginning of Philippians, there's never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears. What God started in you, God will finish in you. So then, he says in Colossians, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. That reading Crispian brought for us has a lovely picture of what it is to be a Christ follower, growing in him, because it uses the image of growth. Remain in me and I in you, just as the branch is not able to bear fruit from itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him, this one bears much fruit, for apart from me you are not able to do anything. See, the idea is that we have been growing up to a certain point in our lives as part of sinful humanity. But when we make the decision for Jesus, it's as if he cuts us out of that tree that we were part of. And then grafts us into his own tree. We become part of his vine. Christ is the vine. We are the branches, it says. Now, how was Jesus able to live the life he lived? How was Jesus able to do the things he did? How was he able to speak into people's lives the way he spoke into people's lives? Answer, in the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. Jesus had no more special equipping than you or I, except that he was totally full of the Holy Spirit. Because there was no sin in his life, there was nothing to take up any of the room that was rightly the Holy Spirit's. And therefore, Christ and the believer become one. But just as the Holy Spirit is in Christ, when we become his, if you like to think of the Holy Spirit as the sap in the vine, the sap flows from Jesus to us. We're not expected to do this by ourselves, to grow by ourselves. We're expected to do it in the strength of God that he gives. That's when we begin to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. The only trouble is that because we are from Adam, there is still that little bit of sinful tendency from us. And one of the saddest things I see in the life of the church is the Christian whose branch has been engrafted in, and then they begin to soar away at their branch, but they're sitting on the wrong side. So that comes the point, the branch gives way, and the branch falls, and they fall. We have to have the right mentality from the start. I remember a friend once telling me about the girl who wanted to get married. She said to him, "Great news, I'm getting married. I want to get married. Getting married is just going to be wonderful. We're going to do this and we're going to do this and the cake's going to be this high and it's going to be glorious." Try not to look at Debbie at the moment. But because I know this doesn't apply to her. But it was all about getting married. And my friend said to her, "Do you want to be married?" And she'd not got an answer for him. Actually, the wedding never took place. Because she realized she was wanting the do, but not marriage. A lot of us, and this is where we need to challenge people, are we people who want the blessing of the day but are not in it for the long haul? Because that's what discipleship is about. That's what being a Christ follower is about. There is no option about growth, though. Healthy plants grow. If you are into Christ, if his Spirit is flowing into you, you are healthy. You can bear fruit. And healthy plants not only grow, they bear fruit. so grow. And change the world in which you live as you grow. Let's just watch this together before we close.